dang it.
You just had to see the picture of Roger dancing. That's all there was to it.
Yes, that's always humorous.
It's about ready to come on. Yeah, 590 WKZL.
I dance like a white guy.
There you go.
I admit it.
The program is Lawrence and Taylor. We have some traffic issues or something going on?
As of 8 minutes ago, westbound I-94 at Sprinkle Road is at a dead stop.
Okay.
We did get a couple of other messages. I asked, what do you go to Radio Shack for?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a component parts dealer if you need something very specific.
Mm-hmm.
One response.
Sure.
The other says, who wants to buy a sleek, cutting-edge electronic device at a shack? It's like buying a custom-tailored suit from the moth closet.
I get the point.
I don't make them up. I just read them.
But, there you go.
The important one there, westbound I-94 at Sprinkle Road, is a parking lot.
Okay. Well, definitely keep track of that. You know what? A little bit later in the program, don't get excited, Roger. But a little bit later in the program, we're going to be giving away tickets to the Monuments Men.
You already told me I can't win.
Yeah, no, I know. But
I'm not going to get excited.
No, I remember how you got excited before when I brought it up again. And you, are we doing it now? No.
Oh.
Not now. But soon, we're going to be giving away tickets to, well, you just have to wait and see.
Jeez.
So, anyway, we'll give those tickets away to go see that at Celebration Cinema. Movie's not even out yet. It's Friday when it comes out. So these could come in handy on opening weekend.
Yeah.
So that would be – and you get to see a movie with all these guys in it, Matt Damon, George Clooney.
Yeah.
John Goodman is in this. Bill Murray. Looks like a good movie.
Yeah. So. I mean, you can't get bigger stars than those folks.
You could, but it's still a good movie.
Yes. Who would be bigger?
Than those guys today, probably not too many people.
Yeah, you got Matt Damon and George Clooney,
yeah, throw Meryl Streep in there, maybe you got.
Okay. Yeah, we left the women.
Yeah, you got to get some women in there,
and okay.
You know, then you can talk about the all-star cast.
But it's a war movie.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it wasn't sexism at work here.
No, very true.
There were not Monuments Women, apparently.
There
were
not.
Monuments Men.
Certainly.
But, and it's based on a true story. Mm-hmm.
Cate Blanchett's in this, too. So apparently, you know, they didn't leave
some
all
women
the women
got
out.
It, yes.
But no, we'll be giving away tickets for that a little bit later. Saw the preview for that. It was like a week or two ago. Looks interesting. Very interesting. Particularly if you're into, you know, war movies and that genre. It's going to be something that you enjoy. So you'll have to hang around because you might be able to go on us.
When Jeremy gets ready,
yeah,
we'll all know, because he won't tell me.
I'm leaving you in suspense.
I see.
See, that's so that I can see you get excited like a kid at Christmas time.
Are we there yet, Dad? Are we there yet?
Just don't tell me that you have to go to the bathroom. That's all I want to know. But we did want to talk about, and we talked about this earlier, that we wanted to get into the debt, because the debt has certainly gone up. There's a report on this talking about, and this comes from figures from the Treasury Department's Bureau of the Public Debt, said that as of the end of January, the debt was at almost $17.3 trillion. They're calculating this as an increase of $6.66 trillion since President Obama was first inaugurated into office. The calculations saying that $6.66 trillion was done in 5 years of the Obama presidency versus the first 227 years of the country between 1776 and 2003, including, of course, the first 3 years of George W. Bush, which we know he liked to spend money.
He was good at it.
He apparently was.
Yeah. Who knew you could fight wars on a credit card? that you didn't have to pay for it. You could just borrow money from the Chinese to fight in Iraq. Who knew?
Well, at the same time, who knew that you could spend $6.66 trillion on what? I'm not even sure what we've bought in the last 5 or 6 years.
A whole lot of wasted military spending. All the fighter planes, no, these cargo planes that were still churning off an assembly line and immediately packing in Cosmoline and stashing because the military says they don't want and don't need the planes we're building for them.
But at the same time, you know, this is a guy that if you look back before he was president, I mean, he called it unpatriotic to run a deficit. And we really need to be able to balance things. He voted against debt ceiling increases. And now that he's president, he's on the other side of the debate. And now he's going, oh, we need a clean debt ceiling increase. We need to be able to pay our bills. We need to be able to do this, that, and the other. And I think, wow, it's interesting to see the switch there. When he gets in the big chair to be able to say, well, wait a minute, we do need to spend lots of money.
But you're overlooking what happened to the economy. At the end of the Bush administration, the economy went into a hole. And that's why the deficit is down half what we were doing just a couple of years ago, because the economy is coming back and we're collecting taxes again. And you're making it sound like Obama just ran down the road throwing money out of his limousine. We have been cutting back on government, but the last few years, a lot of the deficit isn't from spending. It's the economy was so weak. There are still millions of people who are not working. And would like to, and all of that caused the deficit. You're attributing all that's happened here to a president, and he's not that powerful. Congress has certainly played a role in the deficit. They have created a lot of the deficit spending. The reason we're building planes for the Air Force that they don't want and don't need is because there were congressmen who those plants were in their district, and they didn't want people in their district unemployed. And well, so it isn't just Barack Obama.
Well, I think you can certainly say that Congress has definitely some part of that, particularly when you give that Congress didn't end up passing a budget for several years, a lot of that under Democratic control when they didn't bother to pass budgets and say, all right, well, here's our plan, here's where we're going.
But the Republicans were just as involved in that, Jeremy.
So when Democrats were in charge and could have put together a budget and said, let's get this passed, it was Republicans' fault at that point. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, that's not what – don't put words in my mouth.
No, I'm just asking.
No, I'm saying there is guilt on all the parties. You portray it that it's just Democrats and just President Obama. And the Republicans – not just here in the last few years, but certainly during the years of the Bush administration.
Oh, here
played,
we go with Bush. Okay.
A big part in running up the deficit. It isn't just Democrats running amok.
Okay,
it's
what,
our government is running amok, Jeremy, and there's criticism
about,
for both.
But what we're talking about is in the years since Obama came into office, the spending has not stopped. It's not, it's gone. I mean, you're talking about $6.66 trillion just since he came into office, outdoing all the presidents that served between 1776 and 2003 in terms of spending. That's a pretty big deal, don't you think?
But the deficit is dropping like a rock. now, and you don't hear any acknowledgement of that from the conservatives, because that suits their purposes. And what I'm saying is a pox on all their houses. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. isn't just Obama and the Democrats who are running this country into a ditch. It's all of those folks. Mm-hmm. And all of the parties are owned by the same corporations. And I would suggest to you there's not a nickel's worth of difference between the parties. And you make it sound like the conservatives operate on a much higher moral plane than those Democrats and that Obama guy. And a pox on all their houses. Uh-huh. All of these people, both parties have gotten our country into the situation we're in.
Even though at the beginning of the segment I said, yeah, Bush liked to spend money.
And there's my proof. You even agree with me on that.
No, I didn't
that
like
it
the
isn't just
did.
It isn't just certainly. One party.
Certainly, but I'm bringing up the point to say, you know what? It's an awful lot of spending for a guy who said carrying a deficit is unpatriotic. And I think the other thing, you know, you talk about the spending. Yeah, he wasn't going around throwing money out of his limousine windows, but let's not forget that one of the first things he did was a stimulus bill to spend money we didn't have on things we didn't need.
That's not true.
Okay.
The stimulus bill paid for the upgrading of I-94 right through Kalamazoo, where the roads improved. It's three lanes, and it's safer, the rebuilding of the I-94-131 interchange and the road all the way to Norix High School. That was paid for out of that stimulus. And there is a long-term, lasting benefit to what some of the stimulus money was used for.
And it's
still there.
And other parts of the stimulus were used to spend on trips for college kids to China. There were bridges that were built over rivers that didn't connect to anything.
No, they stopped that one. That was the bridge to nowhere in Alaska.
No,
and
it was not that. There was
that
additional
was a Republican
bridges in there.
There
were additional bridges in the stimulus package. It was put out there to build a bridge. It was a walking path over a river that connected to nothing on either side. They just wanted a bridge out there in the middle of no place. So that was in there, definitely. Let's go to the phones. Of course, if you'd like to get involved in this as well, give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or feel free to text us at
80373.
All right. Heading to the phones right now with Chris in Richland. Chris, welcome.
Hey, to point out that, although the deficit spending is going down, the debt is not. The debt continues to accrue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the bigger problem. That's, you know, that 17 point whatever trillion dollars, you know, the 6.66, I guess, which is an appropriate number because it sounds evil to me, number is not going to go down. We're just going to keep on piling at it because we keep on spending more than we're taking in. You know, what does the federal government take in per? I think they take in about $3 trillion and continue to spend, you know, obviously this year $600 billion more than what they take in until they get those two things to meet. They're not going to decrease the debt, and they're just going to continue to add deficit. You know, even a small deficit, like, you know, small as in 6.6. Or $600 billion, that's, you know, a lot of money and add to a really big debt.
Okay.
And, you know, the shovel-ready project, you know, I-94, the original stimulus was what, like $900 billion?
Something around that number, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we were supposed to have the summer of recovery, which was that next summer, and then we didn't get that summer of recovery, and then the next summer was supposed to be the real summer of recovery, and we haven't got that recovery. So, you know, for all that deficit spending, and, you know, I would argue that if you did spend the money on stimulus projects and you did improve, you know, the road systems, the school systems, or whatever, and those are, you know, capital investments in our economy, but the amount of money they spent was not equal to the amount of money that they got back from it, and we didn't create any jobs out of the deal, at least any, you know, significant jobs, because we still have really high unemployment numbers. I don't know, you know, I think it's a real good argument for why we shouldn't leave the government in charge of such things as, you know, trying to stimulate the economy.
Okay. Any thoughts, Roger? You look deep in thought.
No.
Okay.
No, it's a typical Chris call. I'm just letting him do his thing.
That's sad that you don't engage anymore. I'm sorry, Roger.
That's okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Have a good one, Chris.
And, you know, I think there's some points there because Chris made the point that, yeah, I mean, you know, investing in roads and investing in schools, that's sort of a long-term kind of thing. But to be able to look at that and say, hey, stimulus, hey, jobs created, you know, temporary jobs, particularly with roads, because if you're done with the funding and there's no funding beyond it, then how are you going to keep that job going?
So the world would be better off if we hadn't created those temporary jobs and we hadn't rebuilt I-94, and if we had just applied that wasted money creating those temporary jobs and a lasting improvement, we would have been better off if we had applied that money to the deficit and not made those improvements and not given a couple of years of work to construction workers.
How about we don't spend money that we don't have? I think it makes sense to go, okay, how much we got coming in? All right, we'll spend this, 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 and this. And you know what? We can't buy that, can't afford it. So we're just going to cut that one off for this year. You got to make the hard choices sometimes.
But we don't. I've mentioned it several times. We're building multi-million-dollar airplanes for the Air Force that doesn't want them.
Certainly.
And isn't that creating temporary jobs? If we have people on an assembly line building stuff we don't need or want just to keep their jobs, isn't that creating a temporary job? Those are not naturally occurring jobs.
And how about we do things to get government out of the way so the private sector can create jobs and do different things that they need to do?
The government building planes it doesn't want or need is not government getting in the way.
If government...
That's government doing good things.
Government doing good things is spending money they don't have on things we don't need.
But we do it all the time. You like to focus on roads and the other.
I like to focus on the fact we're spending money.
But we're doing it in the military as well. Where do conservatives want to do something about waste at the Pentagon?
Hey, I want to do something about waste all the way around. We've talked about it, and I've agreed with you. You know, the bottom line is we're spending money we don't have on things we don't need. You brought up an example
that proves my point. We can raise taxes.
Oh, that's good in a bad economy. Let's raise taxes. Great idea. Let's go to Judy in Plainwell. Judy, you're with us. Welcome.
Hi. I just want to put my 2 cents worth in it. I've listened to Roger a lot, and Roger, I like you and I respect you, but you're missing the whole point. This administration is putting in too many entitlements. Our people are going to be encouraged not to work. This Affordable Care Act, who's going to pay for it? Those who are working. And what he's doing, it's going to encourage people not to work. So where's the tax money going to come from? Who's going to pay it? Is the administration going to pay it out of their pocket? And you stress on the roads. I think that should keep the government out of our yard, out of our backyard. Let that be our state responsibility, and let us pay our own.
Judy, look what a great job Snyder and the Republicans in Lansing are doing on our roads.
I'm not saying no one is at – they're not – nobody is perfect, and not any of them are at fault.
Let's go back
look at
to
– where we're at and where we were 6 years ago. I'm about ready to retire. I would like to retire, but you know the money I have in my account – I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to retire and enjoy my retirement with my funds because they are going to come in and say, okay, you have this much in your retirement fund, but we need this much to fund this Obama Affordable Care Act.
Who's the they you're talking about here? You said they are going to come in and take your money.
They're not going to take it. What I'm saying is they are going to maneuver a way that they can access the funds and say, you have this much in here, so we're going to take, we are going to tax you more because of that. And I have saved and saved and saved.
Judy, we're up against the break. When we come back, I'll respond to your Obamacare and paying for health care.
That's not the only thing.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Judy.
Thank you.
The program is Lawrence and Taylor. It's 590 WKZO. I'm Jeremy Lawrence. He's Roger Taylor. And Roger, you wanted to respond to the last caller.
Judy brought up that who's going to pay for Obamacare? Well, if we were not providing health care for 50 million people who aren't paying their own way, her logic would be valid. But we are paying for health care for those 50 million people who are uninsured. It's those of us who are insured that are paying for it. So we didn't create a new expenditure here. We're trying to rationalize it and move it from being unfunded and just covered by the people who have health insurance and moving it to where there's a rational system where each individual pays their own bills. And Judy fell off the logic wagon. If we were not already paying for health care for those 50 million people,
never mind that it adds $1 trillion to the debt over the course of the next several years. Oh well, we continue ahead with the program. You make sure you keep it right here. We'll keep the debate going. Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you along with Roger Taylor. And we actually got a caller calling in.
All right.
Jill from Kalamazoo. Hello. You're with us.
Hi, Jill.
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a comment for Roger about the health care. And so you say that it's not going to cost us anything more. How do you explain the subsidies that all of these people are going to take advantage of?
Going to an emergency room and being cared for there with no ability to pay for that is the same thing. And what I was saying, Jill, is it is a specious argument when you say we're going to increase spending because of Obamacare. Well, that would be true if 50 million people weren't going and getting their health care for free at hospital emergency rooms across the country. We're changing the way we're going to deliver health care to those people and hopefully in the long run do it in a more efficient manner. But right now, we're losing jobs in this country because corporations are taking their jobs elsewhere where they don't have to pay for health care. That's one of the big reasons we ship jobs to China and in the rest of the world. We're finding corporations that don't want to come to the U.S. Toyota built its transmission plant in Ontario simply because they say health care for their employees is too expensive in this country. One of the reasons it's too expensive in this country is that Toyota, through its covered employees, is paying a portion of the 50 million people who are getting free health care in hospital emergency rooms.
Okay, that's a really good answer. for instance, in our family, we're self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
So with our insurance we had prior to Obamacare, it was fine. it had one little piece in it that didn't was against the law now, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So Blue Cross dropped our plan, and we had to pick from different plans.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a new plan. It's costing us $200 more a month, so $1,000 a month to have insurance. And our deductible went from $3,000 as a family and to $12,000. So, you know, it's...
What was your experience when you were shopping in the marketplace?
You
couldn't
getting...
find a more cost-effective... did you use any of the navigators, the people who have a lot of experience and understand these things, and they weren't able to come up with a more cost-effective plan either?
I was not able to ever get through on the healthcare.gov website. I did.
So you don't even know what the marketplace would have to offer.
Well, I did contact another representative that did end up helping us, and everything else was even more than what we ended up getting.
But you never went through the marketplace.
I didn't trust it. I wasn't going to put my social number out there and have it hacked.
Okay. Well, then that's how you ended up paying more.
Right.
So that's the cost associated with your decision to not use.
To change what I had. He said, you can keep, if you're happy with the insurance you have, you can keep it.
He was wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, and he should be impeached for it. He lied to us.
Oh, no, come on. Every federal program, when George Bush started Medicare Part D, you didn't hear anybody talking about impeaching him because people were being denied their drugs in pharmacies because that system was screwed up at first. Nobody talked about impeaching George Bush. Of course there's things wrong with it. That's one of the discussions had with Jeremy yesterday. When are conservatives going to move to making the system that's in place work? Make it work better. Help people like you who seem, because you won't use the new system, who seem to be paying a penalty, helping people like you find a more efficient way to cover your family with health care. But you admitted that you never used the marketplace. That was true at first, but it's not true now. Over 3 million people have used that system successfully to sign up for insurance, Jill. 3 million people have been able to. You weren't able
to. You were going to have something in place by December 1st, and you kept trying to get through and kept trying to get through, and you could not get through. What else was I supposed to do?
Well, but you can use it now.
I'm already signed up. I can't do anything until the fall.
But you can certainly be ready for the fall, but you won't be if you refuse to use the system that the law provides. And
that's your choice. Roger,
that
has nothing to do with the system. It has everything to do with the Affordable Care Act caused all sorts of increases in costs. One of the things Jill just talked about was that her deductible went up considerably. That's a story you're hearing an awful lot of places, just to be able to afford health insurance.
But she didn't use the system. She admitted that she
She tried to use the system and couldn't do it.
But 3 million people have.
I guess they were the lucky ones.
And if you are a little persistent, I'm thinking you'll find a way out of this. But if you give up and just send the check in every month the rest of your life, you're...
Trust me, I've been on the phone probably 16 to 20 hours total with Blue Cross trying to get our bill figured out because they're actually billing us double in certain areas for our dental, for instance, than what we should be getting.
Well, that's...
And I haven't been able to get through. You're on hold for 2 hours, and then...
Well, yeah. That's a Blue Cross Blue Shield issue. That's not
that's,
Obamacare.
Well, it's because of him is why I'm having to do this. So I am persistent.
Everything is because of him.
No, it's
not the fact you didn't use the system because you didn't feel comfortable. That's not the problem.
She attempted to use the system. She just said that. She couldn't get through.
But she can now.
But she's already bought. How is she supposed to go through the system now?
She should be getting ready for when she can switch and save money.
She's going to spend a ton of money that she shouldn't have had to have spent. And you're saying it's just simply because she didn't use the system?
Well, she admitted she didn't.
But that it has nothing to do with the system. It has to do with the law that was passed.
How can it not have anything? How can you say it didn't have anything to do with the system when she didn't even use it?
The increases in health care costs have nothing to do with, if you just use the system, then it would work.
But
no, it's talking about the whole law made deductibles go up in order to be able to afford things.
That's not true.
It is true. Jill just said it was true.
Well, it's true for her, but she didn't use the system. She admitted she didn't.
And it's true for a lot of other people.
But there's a lot of other people who are saving big-time money. And we have 3 million less people freeloading in emergency rooms now because of the law. And conservatives want to send those people back to living on the dole and having us pay for their health care.
How many of those 3 million people were like Jill that lost their coverage because of the Affordable Care Act and had to go find something new?
I'm thinking a fair number of them.
So that's not 3 million new people that aren't on the dole, Roger. That's 3 million people that had themselves ejected from the coverage that they liked and wanted to keep but couldn't because Obama lied to us.
How are you going to take health care away from millions of people to accomplish what you want to do? What's the plan? What is the conservative plan? Say you were able to repeal Obamacare tomorrow, something Congress has tried 45 different times unsuccessfully. But if they do, you don't feel at all uncomfortable taking insurance away from the 3 million people who have signed up for it. That's okay in your book.
Now you're putting words in my mouth, Roger. You don't need to be doing that. We've been through this before because the bottom line, and Jill, thanks for your call.
Thanks,
I don't
want to
keep you, so I appreciate your call. But, you know, we've been through this before. The idea is simply going, let's go with, all right, what are the things that we can agree on? Let's sit down, not just Democrats sitting down agreeing with one another. Let's sit down, both parties, and talk about, all right, what's going to work that gets things moving the right way? What's going to get the government out of the way of the industry so that people can make health decisions with their doctor and not with a monolithic corporation or with the government saying, well, no, it's got to be this way or that way.
Out of the 40-some times John Boehner and his crew voted to repeal Obamacare, tell me what their plan was they included with those repeals and how it's going to deal with exactly those issues you mentioned.
You're trying to blame me for things that John Boehner did. I'm not a big fan of John Boehner or any of that stuff. What I'm saying is let's sit down now and do what we should have done to begin with, which was sit down, everybody, and have a big open forum about it and talk about, all right, what can we do? What will be the end result? What happens if we do this? What happens if we do that? Instead, it was all hidden from us. It was all agreed to by Democrats with Democrats. Republicans were never involved with it. They were not asked, and when they were asked, they were flat out rejected for any of it. And now we're dealing with what we're dealing with. Hello.
All the Republicans wanted to do was obstruct.
They brought up idea after idea in a meeting with President Obama and Democratic leaders. They were flat out rejected on every single item and were told, if you don't like it, that's what elections are for. And the Democratic plan was shoved through, even though polling data has never been on side of the Affordable Care Act. It never has.
We're a republic, not a democracy. Our conservative friends tell us that, Jeremy.
Let's check in now. Margaret O'Brien calling in. Margaret, welcome to the program. Welcome once again.
Thank you, gentlemen. I've been listening to this conversation for quite a while, and what's really striking me is the anger. It's about blaming a party, and so every time there's a talk of a possible solution, it's ending in who's to blame. And you know, that's how Michigan and Washington, D.C. got into the mess. And the only way to get out of it is for us just to say, let's take responsibility. The answers, you know, a lot of people probably won't like them. Maybe even the people crafting them won't like them. But we need to be responsible and accountable. And the more that we get partisan and say Republicans did this, Democrats did that, the further we get away from a solution. And I got to tell you, the people in my community, in our community, they're angry with what's happening in Washington, D.C. And I've had a number of people have come up to me and said, you know, Margaret, I may not have liked everything that you've done, but at least you didn't continue the debt in Michigan. At least you're trying to deal with the problem. And that's what I would like Congress to do. Let's just strip away this partisanship that only benefits political parties. And let's really sit down and look for solutions.
Margaret, how do you do that? It's a great idea. On a theoretical level, I agree with you. But there were four Republican responses to the State of the Union address. So the Republican Party is fractured. Both political parties are so entrenched in this. The Republicans saying it's repeal, repeal, repeal. And the Democrats saying no, no, no. How do we do what you're suggesting?
Well, the first thing we have to do is look at ourselves. And when I first took office, when I ran for office in 2010, Republicans were in the minority. And I thought, you know, how would I get the majority to care about issues important to my community? And I thought about it, and that's how I started making the cookies. Well, then when the Republicans took majority, I said, if my idea was good enough to work when I was in the minority, it's good enough to work when you're in the majority. So the first thing is changing our own behavior. The second would be contacting our legislators and saying, you know, please find a way to work with people of both parties. Instead, a lot of the letters that I get are people from either camp, and they're just shooting arrows. The most important letters I get are, let's see if we can find something that's common sense and that at least moves us in the right direction. May not be the plan I agree with, but at least moves us there. And then finally, it's reelecting people who have that bipartisan track record, because so often the elections are becoming about the party and less about the person. I mean, we all get the mailers and the phone calls, and it will blame parties for stuff. Let's start as individuals focusing less on the partisanship and focusing more on common sense and rewarding the elected officials who are showing good work.
Margaret, I want to ask you a quick, direct question.
Yes, sir.
And you're good at answering them. Do you think we need to repeal Obamacare and start over, or do you think it's time to start looking at the problems with the program and making it work better?
I would repeal Obamacare, but I would add something right behind that, Roger, and that is we need to, as a nation, look at the whole health care problem in an honest, transparent way where we're trying to deal with problems, because Obamacare did deal with some problems that existed that everyone was ignoring. And so, you know, when we got pre-existing conditions, you've got kids who aren't being covered on the health, on parents' health care plans, all those things. Those were real issues that were ignored. So I'm not saying that there may not be components that might get worked into a different plan, but we need to take a plan that starts about caring about our community first and foremost. And this has just been such, as we've heard from the callers, it's a poison topic, and we need to look at what's affordable, patient-centered, and accessible, and have those be our guiding values.
Thanks, Margaret. We're up against a break. We got to run, but thanks for answering a direct question, one of the things I like about you.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay, we appreciate the call there, and we appreciate you being with us. We've got some movie tickets to give away. We're going to do it next. You know, Roger, I was looking at the clock and going, we don't have a lot of time here, so we're going to just cut out all the usual stuff that we do.
No hype, no hoopla.
No hype, no hoopla. Yeah, here it is. The Monuments Men, the name of the movie, Celebration Cinema, where you would go to see it in Portage. We've got four tickets, and we're going to take caller number three at 382-4280 and 877-382-4280. See, there you go. We just cut out all the nonsense. So give us a call. Caller number three is going to be the winner of these fine tickets.
And to the callers who were in the queue waiting, you now hear why you couldn't get on.
Of course.
We're really sorry, and try again another day. We didn't discriminate against you. We just couldn't get there.
Ran out of time. Glad to have you on board with the show. Tell you what, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll get together and do it all over again.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.